And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
Studies have shown that most people are in some kind of debt. Here in the U.S., a recent study found that over 60% are in credit card debt, and they owe an average of over $6,000. Now, in addition to that, 23% say they are going deeper in credit card debt every month, and many have even missed a payment in the last year. And did you know that people with debt are more likely to suffer depression and anxiety? Finally, some good news. 97% of people with debt say that they would be happier without it. So on today's episode, my friend Daleen and I are going to discuss how to get out of debt and start truly living. Daleen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Tony.
This is great to have you here because we don't get into a lot of financial discussions and financial planning here on the podcast. Once in a while, we'll touch on money mindset, but I think getting out of debt is something that can really help somebody to truly live a purposely positive life, as I always talk about. So tell me a little bit about you, Daleen, and how you got into working with people in this particular topic.
Yeah. So almost 2 years ago, I retired from my first career. I was in government for 32 years. And being young, I was like, what am I going to do? So I came across the industry financial coaching. And so that's where my endeavor began. And I have been on a journey myself because when I retired, I took a 40% cut in pay the day I retired. And I was too young to access most of my investments, not all of them, but most of them. And so I wanted to be prepared. So I was really on this journey, got my debt paid off. I even had my main mortgage was paid off. I lucked out in a couple of different ways and some investments in other properties that had kind of fed into that. And so, yeah, I was able to come into this nearly debt-free. I do own an investment property that is paid for currently. And so, yeah, debt, almost debt-free.
Almost debt-free. That's a great way to live life. And you hear a lot of stories about people who are just buried in debt, especially yes. Today. I mean, as we're recording this podcast, we're early in 2024, the economy, we've got this crazy thing called inflation, and people aren't able to buy as many groceries as they used to and buy gas for what they used to. And everything seems to be going up and up and up. And sometimes the income, and most of the time, actually, the income is not keeping up. And what do people do? They turn to debt. And the worst kind of debt is that credit card debt, because those interest rates are absolutely crazy. And it's once you start, it's really hard to dig your way out. So what I'd kind of like to get into, and by the way, I'm also a former government worker. I don't know if we discussed this with each other in the past. I was an investigator for over 20, 25 years. And that's in 2020 when I started to make a decision to start doing more positive things and get out of that negative world, because that type of world is very negative. Not government work per se, but even working for the government got kind of crazy in 2020. And when I left at the beginning of 2021. And I've been doing this business since the middle of 2020, doing speaking, coaching. And that's when I launched the podcast. So we've had similar journeys, except you took more of the financial coaching route. And I work with a lot of people in starting businesses, doing business coaching, influence, negotiations, persuasion. But I also help people who are dealing with burnout in their life and breaking free from burnout. And burnout is something that can easily be caused by debt. So I digress a little bit, but back to the question at hand, is there kind of like a hierarchy of debt? I mean, is some debt okay, or is all debt bad? Is there something that we should be avoiding? I would think credit card debt would be in that category.
Yes, and I will agree. And so I want to kind of explain a term that I don't think is talked about enough. Obviously, we don't talk about money enough anyways, but within debt, there is a term called debt management. We all will encounter debt at some point in our life, unless you're the wealthy, 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 which is a very small percentage. And I'm sure they're not listening to little old me. So when my husband and I bought our first home, instead of us going in to find out how much we qualified for, we went in and said, this is what we want our payment to be. And they told us what that qualified us for. And so that has been our approach to debt. And I don't see that a lot anymore. I think people are so enamored by, oh my gosh, do you know how much I can qualify for? And do you know what I could do with that? And then on the flip side of that, they can buy all these things and they want to do all these things and, you know, all this greatness, and it doesn't match up because number one, I don't want somebody else telling me, oh yeah, you can make this payment. No, I want to say I want to make the payment. So yeah, credit card debt, I always tell whenever I'm speaking to people about debt and especially credit card, I always say flip over, and I know they don't make mail statements anymore, but download a PDF and that second page, so it used to be the backside when they mailed it to you, it's the second page. Read through that very carefully. Educate yourself about your credit card. What is the percentage? What is the annual yield rate of that percentage? If you made the minimum payment, it will tell you how many years and how much that will cost you. And it is going to be equal to your mortgage if you pay the minimum. And I don't think people understand that. So that's a really quick way to educate yourself on credit card debt. Credit card debt is the easiest to access, and that is why the interest rate is so high. So it definitely can be weighing. I had another financial coach share with me last week that had showed up to their office with credit cards totaling $198,000.
Wow, I can
Now, this was
imagine.
not their only debt. And I don't know any other situation about it, how much they were making or anything like that. But holy cow, you know, that's more than I paid for my house because, yes, that was many years ago. But it, you know, credit card is so easy to get into, and it's so easy to look at that minimum payment and go, oh, they only want $75 from me. Okay, great. That's barely tapping into that interest that you're getting, you know. So really educate yourself and explore that. But yeah, so then you've got to explore the other situations with debt. You've got your vehicle loans, you've got your mortgages, you've got your other asset secured loans. So those are similar to the vehicle loans. Really understand the length of time, the amount, the total cost. So my daughter recently purchased her very first, you know, adult car, expensive car, nice car. She was like, if I don't do it, she got her a little sports car, and she's working and it's fine. But she's like, you know, do I do the 5 year or the 7 years? And I said, can you make the 5 year payment? She said, yes. And I said, but what if something happens? And she's like, oh. And I said, so it's okay to opt for that 7 year and pay the 5 year payment. Because having some cushion will, if things happen in life, you know, job loss, inflation, those types of things, you've built in a buffer for yourself. And so right there, she is like, okay, I have X number of dollars to give and take from other or give to other areas. So.
I'm very familiar with that idea of just making extra payments or paying more, because back when I bought my very first car, you know, when I was in that same situation, I did that as well. I didn't have a lot of other expenses. I was living at home for a while and I was just making double payments because I wanted to get that car paid off as soon as possible. But just exactly as you advised your daughter, I didn't want to get stuck where all of a sudden I had to make that higher payment. And if I couldn't make it, then you're in trouble. So give yourself that cushion. So I think that's great advice for someone. Take the 7 year loan, but make extra payments along the way. And I think if you make, what is it, like one extra payment per year? Well, I know this works with a mortgage. If you make one extra mortgage payment a year, you can greatly reduce the amount of time that you pay on that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's a lot of different ways you can finagle that. So don't strap yourself. That's what debt management is, right? It's managing that commitment amount every single month because what if, you know, and there's a lot of what ifs out there. So, yeah, the other thing I see people using credit cards for is those expenses that they haven't prepared for. And so that's a big, big culprit. I like to call it the driver of debt. What is your driver of debt? What is making you pull out your credit card? And the item you might be charging may or may not be the actual item driving your debt. So you might see somebody charging their groceries, but what happened in the days leading up or the weeks leading up? Did they have a vet bill? Did they have a car repair? Did they need tires on their car? And they had not planned for those. That is another thing to help, reduce the use of your credit cards and be able to, have more and better control.
Now, I have myself a few credit cards that I use, but my method is at the end of the month when I get the payment, if it's that's the amount that's due, that's what I pay. And that keeps me from rolling into debt. But I do have one particular card that I use for like the 0% that you can get every now and then. And if I have like an emergency, I'll put it on to my regular credit card and then boom, I'll just transfer that amount to that other card and then it'll give me a little cushion to pay that off. And I think that has worked in the past for me pretty well because it's strategic, right? I don't want to use, I don't want to keep a balance on that card where I'm going to be paying a higher interest. So I want to make sure I pay that off. But I think you brought up a good point in emergencies and things like that. A lot of people, they don't have that cushion of money in the bank. If something should happen, if they need like a major car repair, that's something that really gets people a lot. Something will happen to a vehicle if they own an older car, they have a car repair bill or an appliance in the house, one of those things, a furnace. That's those are very high-end purchases, and if they don't have the money in liquid assets where they can get to it, it's so much easier. And in some ways, actually, I find financially, using some of these 0%, if you know you can pay it off, like if you have the money in an account somewhere where you're making money on that, then you can kind of finagle, you'll do the zero interest. And then if you get to that term where, where you need to come up with the money to pay off that credit card, then you can pull the money out. That way you're making the most of it. Does that make sense? I don't think I explained it really well.
Yeah, and I think a lot, there's some people that don't understand what a high yield savings account is. So that's definitely another area they can educate themselves. But yeah, just being able to manage your debt and, what is it going to immediately impact you? And so, yeah.
That's true. Now, do you recommend? I would say that the credit card, the high interest debts are what you want to pay off first. Do you have a strategy that you recommend for someone who says, you know what, I want to get out of debt now. I want to do exactly what the title of this episode is, get out of debt and start truly living. So what would be the first step that someone should take when they want to try to actually get out of debt?
Inventory your debt. Like, actually write down your lender, your balance, your interest rate, your minimum amount, and the amount you're paying. And just, writing that down or even typing it out on a different sheet of paper and seeing it all together there, it just brings a different clarity than if you go, well, I know that one has the higher interest rate. Well, does it really? And how do you feel about all of your other debts? So, I have all of my clients, we list out their debts, we look at them. And, there's the very common strategies out there. There's the debt snowball, there's the debt avalanche. A lower common one is there a debt that brings about emotion in you? Negative, hate. Every time you go to make that payment, it's you're reliving whether it was a bad decision. I know somebody who got a divorce and had to put it on a credit card. Like, it's got another emotional attachment to it. That may be the one you choose. And it might be a small amount with a small interest rate, but it conjures up so much feeling that you need to get rid of it. Number one, for your emotional health and your physical health, and then to be able to get through the rest of your debt. So we just explore the different strategies and the different options, and more, it's more about how they feel about the different debts. Because there's some that they may be like, I'm okay with that one. I'm okay with that amount. I'm okay with the interest I'm paying. One of my current clients, she says, I have got to get rid of that one credit card debt. And I'm like, okay. She has higher bills and higher interest on some other things, but she's like, that is the one that is just causing me the most stress. And I'm like, okay, let's build it into it. So usually it comes out that way. If there is no feelings, which sometimes, you know, I do have, it's not about the emotion or anything, then we just start looking at what's already free. What end of month money do you have? And, you know, how do you want to tackle this? You want to go gung ho? Or do you want to be, you know, enjoying a little bit of life and make sure that we're saving emergency funds or saving for that travel, you know, so we don't have to put it on the credit card and still constructively pay off debt in a certain amount of time. So
that makes a lot of sense. And I like how you broke it down about which debt is causing you the most anxiety, the most emotion, because, you know, as I talked about in the beginning, people have depression and anxiety over that debt. Let's take that figure. That's kind of the average figure of $6,000 in debt. Now, that may be on one credit card. And we're talking about credit card debt here. So that may be on one or maybe on multiple. I would think that it would be probably better to take the card that you owe the least on and pay that one off first. And the reason that I'm thinking that is because most people need that dopamine hit that they accomplish something. So if they say, well, I'm going to pay off the higher one first because that one's causing me a lot of anxiety. Well, maybe if they tried to pay the one they owe $5,000 on one and they owe $1,000 on the other, pay off that $1,000 one first, get that out of the way, and then start working on the $6,000 one. Would that fit in line with what you're seeing and what you would be advising?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's like if, unless there's sometimes the clients are like, nope, I want to go for that bigger one. I can stay the course. I can do it. And then I help them craft other rewards within as a, you know, so they can find their dopamine hits within that large paying off. But yeah, typically the snowball works the best for individuals who really are like, I want to see progress. I want to see it happening. I want to know that this is working. Then that's the one I really do stress for them to do. And as we work through it, you know, so if they have multiple loans, multiple cards, as we get through one or two, and now you've got, you know, you're rolling it like you do with the avalanche or the snowball, because that's what you're wanting to do. Then I start saying, okay, you've got an amount there. Do you want to increase your savings, your retirement, especially if somebody closer to their, you know, years of retirement, and you might be sitting with an extra $1,000 at this point to pay off your debt. Do you want it all to go to the debt, or do you want to support some of it into your savings? So then we build a strategy that way as well to kind of not ignore the retirement for the future, but also to continue to pay down the debt.
Continue to do that. That makes a lot of sense. I also have heard there's a lot of conflict between savings versus paying off debt. And I've heard some people say, take all your money, pay off the debt first, and then worry about the savings. And then I've heard some people say, no, you need to do like a combination of both, because if you're saving the money, then it'll prevent you from needing to go into debt in the future. Plus, it's building a nest egg. I mean, you want to start saving for your retirement, let's say, and you don't want to stop doing that just to pay off your debt. You probably need to kind of come up with a balance. Is that seem reasonable to you to have that balance? Or would you ever focus on just debt only?
Yeah, there could be times. So as long as they're stable, as long as they're financially stable and they can make ends meet and keep going, then that's great. I had a lady jump on a free call with me and she said, I have enough in my savings to pay off my debt. Should I do it? And I said, this is how I want you to approach it. I want you, if you were to pay off those debts and how much that's costing you and each month, how long will it take you to save up what you already had saved? And I want you to look at how you feel about that and then go from there. And then you can make that decision, because I said, you need to prepare for that emergency. You know, what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? And so if you completely go without, what are you going to do for emergency? For how many months is it before you can get back to that savings amount? So I really like people to dive into it themselves and understand, you know, the length of time, the cost. It's nice to see debt gone, but if you're not financially stable and not ready for those car repairs, home repairs of those types of things, Christmas is a big one, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not ready for those, you're going to add the debt back on. So I had somebody DM me in my messages and they're like, should I consolidate everything onto my home equity loan, or should I just do a debt consolidation? And I'm like, what is making that debt happen? That's your problem. Your debt isn't your problem. There's an underlying factor. So really exploring stability first. And then from there, yeah, playing around with that savings and that retirement and then paying off the debt. Because as you go, like I said, as I came into retirement, I was able to pay off all my debt. I didn't need as much income in retirement. And so making that shift, debt can be just as effective as you're getting to retirement as savings can be, especially if you're that close.
Yeah. And I love how you address the underlying factor too of what is causing the debt, because some people are spending more money than they make each month. And of course, that's going to equal debt. So let's try to figure out how to get that under control before you even start worrying about paying it off. Let's get it under control, because if you're trying to pay it off and you're just robbing Peter to pay Paul, as they say, that I see that a lot in the world. And what I've seen a lot of lately, and tell me if you're coming across this because of just the way the interest rates are in the economy. Now, first off, I just want to say that we're talking like 5, 6, 7% interest rates. And I'm old enough to remember when I was young, seeing these crazy interest rates in the teen figures, like 15, 16% interest rates. So compared to 15, 16%, 7% is still pretty good. But I think we got used to those rates, 3 and 4%. And when we started seeing those, but there were a lot of people that gambled a little bit with their finances and they bought into these adjustable mortgages. So what they're seeing now, and I'm seeing a lot of stories about this, where they bought their home, they kind of squeaked in because they could barely, you know, afford it, and especially with the housing prices going up so high, right? A house that would normally cost someone $200,000 is all of a sudden now $350,000 or more. What would happen? They would get these adjustable loans because they'd want to keep their payment as low as possible without thinking what happens if the rates go up. Yeah. So now the rates are going up, the taxes are going up because the assessments are going up. And I live in New York State, which is, I call it the People's Republic of New York. But the taxes here in New York State, our property taxes are well up through the roof. I mean, you can buy a home, a lot higher priced home, even though the house prices are higher, like down south in the Carolinas, for example. You can buy a house like in Asheville, North Carolina. I'll pick on that city. Anyone listening from there, great. I've been down there. Love it down there. But I could buy a house down there. It would probably cost me double the house that I live in now. But my payment, I wouldn't have the high property taxes. So, I mean, there's a balance. But they're seeing an increase in both. And then their fuel and heating bills are going up. Their grocery bills are going up. And now all of a sudden, their income is all used up in their payments. It's real tough out there. And I feel for a lot of these people. Would you ever recommend refinancing or taking money from those credit cards and putting that into like an equity loan or anything like that? Or just pay the credit card off?
I would just pay it off. I mean, if you're at the point that you can't provide, you know, your house payment, three meals on the table, fuel to get to work, electricity, power, if any of that's being infringed on, then my guess would say, yes, you would probably have to do that to make it work. But if you're not there yet, I don't think consolidating at a lower amount, right? I think some people are like, well, I've got $50,000 in debt. I'm like, okay, so just dig yourself out of that debt. You know, you can do it. I worked with a client. He came to me with debt equal to the amount he made in a year. He'd been in this situation two times before. His dad was like, something is wrong and you've got to fix it. And so we were able to create him a very sustainable living plan. It was not ideal, but we stopped the flow. We figured out his problem. So his driver of debt, which was his lease payment rising every single year, and his wage was not, but he was also stuck in the scarcity mindset and didn't believe he could go find another job. And so exploring that, you know, and so he didn't even have the option of those other consolidations. It would just either be bankruptcy, which I'm like, how do you dig yourself out of that? Yes, he was in a really flipped up state, but we were able to find something that worked. And as we're working through it for 3 months, I said, is this sustainable? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, this is fine because I know it's not forever. So sometimes we have to do hard things and being able to just throw it into the house. I don't want to be paying 30 years on my car. I don't want to be paying 30 years on my credit card. So think about it from that side as well. And if, especially if you're not infringing on those basic care necessities, I think at that point, definitely you have to make some harder decisions. So.
I like the way you just said that. I don't want to be paying 30 years on my car, because essentially, if you transfer the debt, that's what you're doing. You're spreading that out, which means you're paying more interest in the long run. It's going to cost you more for that vehicle. That's a really good way to look at it. Now, there's a lot of these debt relief services that are going out there where they're saying, well, we'll negotiate with the credit card company, or we'll do this, and then you'll pay one particular month. Have you dealt with any of those, or heard stories about people who have dealt with any of that, and how does that work? Is that
I have personally not dealt with it, but I have just recently had a story. Somebody who had reached out to me, I said, I'd love to work with you, but you do have to pay my fee because I believe you got to have some skin in the game for change to happen. And she had this, it was a really bad scenario. So she ended up going into debt consolidation. What was interesting was, so on her mortgage, they put the two missed payments at the end and didn't dock her anything. So I'm like, okay, that's great, you know. And then they were able to consolidate all of her credit cards with the exception of her Apple credit cards. So thinking that this relief is going to take care of everything, it may not. And so learning from her, and I don't know why they didn't want those. I don't have any specifics. She didn't share any specifics. So, you know, I think if you're really strapped and you're really flipped upside down, explore it, but explore it with educating yourself before making that decision.
you have to always think about educating yourself. That makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot of things that even I'll do with some of my clients. I've had people who wanted to leave their job because of the stress in their job and try to convert and find another job. And sometimes that means taking a pay cut, and they're
Yeah.
trying to come up with a budget. And one of the things that I think would be useful to everybody is to track your spending. I mean, in every single part of your spending, by either writing it down, or if you put everything on a card, for example, if you use a credit card or a debit card to for your you get a printout of all that, right? You can go onto your you can even go onto your bank's website and look that all up, and you can write down what everything is. And there's usually a few things that we're all spending money on that we can easily get rid of for a while and use that money to help us to pay down some of that debt. And like one of the things is, you don't want to get into brand names, but let's just call it right out, your Starbucks. They go to work every day and they have to stop at Starbucks and get their Starbucks. And what are they paying for? So I don't even know what a Starbucks
I
coffee
don't either.
used to be for like $5. It's probably like 10 now.
Probably.
But let's even say it's $5. If they're stopping $5 a day, and that's 5 days a week, that's $25. That's $100 a month right there. And so if you stopped going to Starbucks, maybe even if, let's say, you only went half the time and you save $50, that's $50 a month you could put extra towards your credit card. And you just got to get creative, I think, to find ways to shift your spending. But you don't know where to get creative unless you write it down. So I'm a huge advocate of writing all this stuff down. It sounds like you are too.
Yeah, and I left with your Starbucks. Like, I always tell people, I'm like, it's not all or nothing. Like, there can be a halfway point. The other thing I like to suggest is like your streaming services. Can you pause them for 3, 4, 5 months, right? That'll give you some cash. It's not a complete done, and you know, maybe you're keeping one of the others. You don't have two, or you're, you know, whatever it is. It's looking for, you know, that creative, looking for that middle ground, and it's not all or nothing. And so I think that's important to look at as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. The streaming services, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that can be quite a bit of money. Just all these little side purchases that we do in life. I mean, I think we get to the point where we don't even pay attention to where we're spending our money. So I think just knowing where that money is going and writing out a budget is huge. I'm a follower of Dave Ramsey. He's an advocate of fighting against debt and getting debt free, and he has a lot of tips out there. But are there any of Daylene's super tips that you would want to give to anybody who's listening today who is saying, "All right, you know what? I came across this podcast for a reason. I'm finally fed up with this debt. I need to get out of it. I need to be happier."
Yes. Yeah, so my advice to you, my tip for you is to not look at your end goal. I want you to pick a closer goal. It's like I tell people, somebody might have $100,000 in savings and you're like, I want to do that. That's not your goal. Your goal is more like a thousand if you don't have any. And so same with debt. Pick one. And I don't care which one it is. You know, it doesn't matter technically which one it is. Yeah, we can talk about, you know, costs of interest in that, but at this point, it doesn't matter. Pick one, commit yourself to it, and see how quickly you can get it paid off. Kind of turn it into a little challenge for yourself, but don't expect, you know, to be debt-free at the end of the year, because that more than likely won't happen. It takes a while.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I like the idea too, rewarding yourself at the end when you pay off that first card. You know, maybe you did do without the Starbucks, so go out and get one and reward
Yes.
yourself for that. Maybe you've been eating home now more often and not going out to eat as much. Reward yourself, go out to dinner at the end when you paid off that card, and then start and work on the next one and go to the next one. So I want to follow up too with that idea of 97% of people say that they would be happier without debt. Have you seen this in your clients? I mean, have you actually seen where people just seem to be happier when they finally do get out of debt?
Yes. So even after my first session, a lot of them are, I'm like, you have money left over. And they're like, I do, you know, and it's just that clarity. It's just that awareness. And so, yeah, then headed down the road, getting the debt off. Yeah, so much lighter. And once you get in that frame of mind, you can start making better financial decisions. That's the other thing as well. So.
And it does. It helps you to make better decisions because when we've gone down that path a few times, I know you mentioned before you've had a couple of clients who seem to repeat that. It's that lather, rinse, repeat. They get in debt, they dig their way out, and then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, they're back in debt again. So I think that's when you really have to look at what's going on here at a more deeper level. But I'd be curious to hear any particular real debt nightmares? I know you mentioned somebody, you know, that was way into debt was over 100,000, but obviously you're not going to share the names or anything like that.
Right,
But I
right.
mean, the situation, I mean, was there anything that just really blew your mind since you started doing this?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I always managed my debt. So when I got to it and I'm like, the numbers aren't adding up for me, it was, I really put myself through some, I don't want to say trauma, but I did. I stress and that. And I felt exactly what I'm sure those people with their debt are feeling. And I'm like, okay, all right, I can figure this out. We can figure it out together. And, you know, we were able to. And, you know, it was proof for him. In 3 months, he could do it. So, you know, don't tell yourself that you can't and that it's too hard. You know, just look at it, make you a plan, and then stick to it. And even that will change you. Even that will change you.
Would you recommend getting like a second or even third job to use that money to paying off debt? Because I know there's a trade-off there. There's a lot of stress related to that. But I personally think if it's something that you have to do, then we used to say when I was growing up as a kid, my parents used to say, "You got to do what you got to do." And that's really the way I look at it.
So I use this frame or this formula for budgeting, right? Budgeting is income equals expenses. And then within expenses is where we have savings, we have our debt, we have all the fun things we want to do. And if that exceeds the other side, what do we have to do? We have two choices. We can either reduce the expenses or we've got to increase income. And so, yeah, it's like ideally, I do think reducing your expenses is easier, And if you're not that person that feels that way, then definitely. What is a quick side hustle, something you can do? My daughter did DoorDash for many weeks, not months, but many weeks to provide for travel for her that she went on last year. And it was, quite the tag number. And she's like, she paid for it. And I don't know, she was only doing the weekends and only doing like 4 or 6 hours a day. And she saved up 2,000 or more for her trip, and in a matter of like 4 or 5 weeks.
That's
So,
great.
So if you think about it that way, you're going to hustle for a quick little bit so that you don't have to give up something. Or if you're going to give up something and they're like, well, I have nothing to watch on TV, hey, go run DoorDash, make a little bit of money. So,
I have a 3D method for success in most areas in life, and the D's start with the first one is desire, because we all desire to do something, but just having a desire won't take us anyplace. We next have to make a decision, and that's where everything starts. We have to make that decision that we're gonna do this. We're gonna eliminate our debt. We're gonna get rid of at least our credit card debt, if anything. Maybe we'll still have our car payment or our lease payment, and then our mortgage. Work toward getting rid of that too. I mean, that's always a good idea. Let's just start with the credit card debt. They make a decision for that, but the next step, and this is the one that people forget, is the determination. Because you make that decision, you're going to do it, and you have to have determination to follow through and do whatever it takes. Take that massive action, as Tony Robbins, who's one of my mentors, always says, you have to take massive action. You don't just make that decision, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is my goal. This is my desire. And then just sit and wish it's going to happen. You have to sit down. You got to put the work in. And to put the work in, you need that determination. So this has been a really fun discussion. Anything else that you'd want to share with us before we close out this discussion today?
Yeah, I want to add my own D word. So I like to get my clients dreaming. That helps build the desire, right? It grounds it, makes it deeper. So debt isn't your dream. Debt isn't your goal. What is your dream beyond that? What does life look like on the other side of it? And, really ground yourself in that dream. Feel what it would be like. Who's going to be there with you? What are those, what is all of that? And then that creates desires. And then you have to do exactly what Tony said and follow the method back. But ground yourself in that dream and those desires.
Ground yourself in that dream and those desires. That's awesome, Daylene. If people were interested in reaching out to you and finding out more about your services and maybe get some tips along the way, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, come hang out with me on Instagram, elevate underscore finances, or check out my website, which is elevatefinances.us. And both places have some great tips and things as well. And then I also have my own podcast, Wealthy After 40, where we touch on all sorts of topics of personal finance. I bring in guests in other areas of life, so it's more than just personal finance.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'll definitely be checking that out. I always ask my guests this question at the end of the show, and I think this is an appropriate question, especially with this topic. But the question is, what does being purposely positive mean to you?
Purposely positive, you wake up every day and okay, your back hurts. It's gloomy. I am dealing with gloom. Behind this window shade is gloom. But to be purposely positive, it's like, okay, it's gloomy, but I'm going to have a purpose today. And my purpose is going to be positive, whether it's for myself or for others, and my actions all throughout the day.
And your actions will speak louder than the words that you say, I believe. And if
Yes.
we can do that, that's how we can truly go out there and be purposeful, be positive on purpose. And that's how we can spread that positivity to the world. And it's not the toxic positivity that they talk about, where we just go around and say, everything's great, everything's great. You know what? If you got a mountain of debt, you're not going to be saying everything's great, but you can start taking positive action to start paying down that debt. Maybe work with somebody like yourself to get that debt down. And that's how you can be purposely positive. So I think that really falls in line with what you're saying. So, Daily, this has been great. I would love to have another conversation in the future, maybe about this or another topic. And I hope people will reach out to you.
Yes, thank you so much.
And You've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there struggling with something. Maybe it's debt, or maybe it's just burnout. I have a free resource. It's an ebook called Strive to Thrive. You can download it at Tony W. Coaching, and it'll start you in the direction of a purposely positive life.